Good afternoon, 4:30 and 49 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Samantha Morrill.
It is my pleasure today to announce my candidacy for the presidency of the United States and for the re-election to the U.S. Senate in Kentucky.
Rand Paul makes it official in Kentucky today. He's a candidate for two offices.
Rowan County School Superintendent Marvin Moore is named Kentucky Superintendent of the Year by a professional organization.
And Moorhead prepares to welcome a delegation from its sister city in China.
In sports, a Moorhead State University football player is named the PFL's Top Offensive Player of the Year.
But Luke has the stocks.
Showers tonight with lows around 50 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Four persons were hurt Sunday afternoon when an SUV overturned on the Mountain Parkway in Powell County. The Moorhead Post of the Kentucky State Police reports that the eastbound vehicle, driven by 42-year-old Ernest Robinson of Clay City, crossed the median near Slade and rolled multiple times. Troopers say the occupants were all taken to Clark Regional Medical Center in Winchester. One of them, 13-year-old Abby Robinson of Clay City, was later transferred to the UK Medical Center. All are listed in stable condition.
There was a fatal traffic accident in Powell County over the Thanksgiving holiday weekend. It occurred on Friday afternoon in Campton Road near Not a Tunnel Road. Kentucky State Police identified the victim as 24-year-old Timothy Addison of Stanton. Troopers say the victim died at the scene when his vehicle crossed the center line and struck a tractor-trailer head-on. The truck driver, 29-year-old Claude Lowe of Louisa, is listed in stable condition at Clark Regional Medical Center in Winchester.
A southern Ohio man has been charged with trying to solicit sex from an underage girl in Moorhead. The Ashland Independent reports that Albert Trin of Mainville was taken into custody after he allegedly sent a text message to an undercover officer posing online as a 14-year-old girl. Police say when Trin arrived at the address given him by the Rowan County Sheriff's Department, he was arrested.
A 22-year-old Huntington man is held in the Western Regional Jail following a shooting incident Saturday in the Walmart parking lot in Barbersville. Brian Bowen is charged with four counts of wanton endangerment. Cabell County deputies say Bowen was arrested after they received reports that two men were arguing and shots were fired between two cars. They say no one was injured.
Rowan Judge Executive Walter Blevin says fighting the illicit drug trade in the county has been a constant battle. Blevin says once a problem with one narcotic appears nearly solved, another pops up to take its place. Still, he believes, police are making progress in convincing dealers to do their business elsewhere.
I believe they are because I think people are conducting their deals outside of the county. There's too much heat here. We have good police force here. We've got the sheriff's office. The state troopers are here, their headquarters. We've also got the federal people down at the lake, and we have got the campus police. I mean, we've got a lot of police here. I think this we're trying to keep it. If there's deals going to be made, let's have them made somewhere else besides here in Rowan County.
Blevin says one reason authorities have made progress against drugs in Rowan County is the increasing number of tips they've received from the public. He urges members of the community to remain involved and to call authorities if they see something suspicious.
People who don't have federally mandated health insurance next year will see their penalty for noncompliance more than double. That's according to Dr. Tony Weaver, a Moorhead physician and assistant dean of the UK College of Medicine. He says more than 7 million Americans chose to pay the fine this past year instead of purchasing a health plan. Dr. Weaver says that penalty will more than double in 2016 for those without coverage.
If you're going to avoid that $695 per adult or 2.5% of household income penalty that you're going to see in April, you have to get enrolled before January 31st.
Dr. Weaver says that's when the current open enrollment period ends. He says if you want health care coverage effective on January 1st of next year, you should have a policy by December 15th. Weaver made his comments on WMKY's weekly Health Matters program.
The Rowan County Schools' Marvin Moore has been named the 2016 Superintendent of the Year by the Kentucky Educational Development Corporation. Moore has worked in the Rowan District for 46 years, the last 11 as its superintendent. He calls winning the award humbling and gives much of the credit to his district's faculty and staff.
It's a great honor to be a part of a district where great things are happening for our students and everybody working together as a team. As I say many times to our leadership team, if one person comes in and thinks they've got all the answers for everybody, the only person that fools themselves. So, but as a team, we can make things happen for our students.
Among its other accomplishments, the Rowan school system has been labeled as proficient and progressing, jumping from the 78th percentile to the 86th.
Kentucky's new education commissioner says he is working to communicate with as many stakeholders in Kentucky education as possible. MSPR's Jacob Lindberg reports.
After taking over for Terry Holliday, Stephen Pruitt says he has spent his first month on the job meeting with people all over the Commonwealth and talking about Kentucky schools. He spoke with CN2's Pure Politics.
I would say at this point I've met with probably more than 80 of the superintendents, in large part through the co-ops. I've been meeting with legislators. I've had every advisory board that I have, which includes parents, administrators, various organizations from across Kentucky.
Pruitt says Kentucky educators are mainly satisfied with graduation rates and college and career readiness indicators. He acknowledges that one of the biggest challenges appears to be the achievement gap. For MSPR, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
Republican Auditor-elect Mark Harmon believes the head of the Kentucky Retirement Systems should resign. That's just what Bill Thielen had planned to do at the end of this year, but a search committee was unable to tap a qualified replacement, so they signed him to direct the KRS for another 3 years. Since then, however, Thielen has been criticized for accepting a 25% pay increase, even though the retirement fund is $17 billion in the hole. Harmon tells CN2's Pure Politics that doesn't inspire much confidence in the system.
So I think it would be good for him to eventually fade out into the sunset, as it were. And it's important to get good, you know, people in there to handle it.
The KRS board has stuck by its decision to keep Thielen. Members say it's the wrong time to bring in someone with less experience.
The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet's District 10 office has established priority routes for snow and ice removal for the upcoming winter season. Spokesman H.B. Elkins says the routes designated as Priority A are major through routes, and those are the most heavily traveled in each county. They include parkways and other major arteries. U.S. 460 is a priority route in Morgan, Menifee, and Magoffin counties. The Mountain Parkway is a priority in Morgan and Magoffin. Other priorities in Morgan County include State Routes 7, 172, and 519. Kentucky 36 is listed as a top priority in Menifee County, and portions of Kentucky 7, 30, and 40 are on the list in Magoffin County.
A portion of Buchanan Road in Fleming County will be closed for about 8 days starting today. Transportation Cabinet spokesman Alan Blair says the road will be shut down about 3/4 of a mile north of its intersection with Kentucky 32. The closure is in effect between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. The road will be open during the evening. Blair says the move is necessary to allow embankment repairs throughout the week.
Ashland City Commissioner Kevin Gunderson says the removal of parking meters from the downtown area and enforcement of a 2-hour parking limit should generate additional shopping in the city's core. He says the status quo just wasn't helping Ashland's downtown store owners.
A number of downtown merchants have requested this. This is to be looked at as good news because we have increased commerce in downtown from small business, which is the real economic engine driver. We didn't have that in previous years.
Gunderson says a problem with the meters has been that people who work downtown park in metered spaces and keep feeding those meters all day. The result, he says, is that shoppers have trouble finding a place to park.
A delegation from Moorhead's sister city in China is due in Moorhead soon. Betty Cutts is treasurer of Moorhead's sister city's program.
We will have a delegation from Yongshuo, which is our sister city, And they will come to Moorhead for 2 days in early December. They will be visiting various community businesses and the schools and whatever we, you know, do.
Gott says the delegation will then head to the nation's capital and meet with others there. Moorhead has had a sister city agreement with Yangshoa since 2004.
Republican Rand Paul today officially filed for re-election to the U.S. Senate and entered Kentucky's GOP presidential caucus. Paul convinced the state Republican Party to adopt the caucus so he could run for both offices at the same time. Kentucky law prevents a candidate's name from appearing on the same ballot more than once. Paul says his dual candidacy is not that unusual.
You know, Paul Ryan ran in the last election for the vice presidency and Congress at the same time. So I don't think it really signifies anything other than I still want to be part of the debate one way or the other. People see my voice as a unique voice in the U.S. Senate, and they want my voice still to be heard nationally. And while I am an optimist, everybody knows there's 10, 15 other men and women running.
Other contenders who've entered the Kentucky caucus are Donald Trump, Jeb Bush, Ted Cruz, and Ben Carson.
A national polling organization has released approval ratings for all 100 of the nation's U.S. senators based on opinions of their state constituents. The figures compiled by Morning Consult show that Kentucky's Mitch McConnell has the highest disapproval rating in the country. 52% of Kentuckians don't like the way McConnell is doing his job. 38% give the Republican a favorable rating. The most popular senator in the country among his constituents is Vermont's Bernie Sanders. His approval rating is 83%. The survey was conducted between May and November.
A Maysville native is joining the administration of Governor-elect Matt Bevin. The Maysville Ledger Independent is reporting that Andrew McNeil will be a senior advisor to the new Republican governor. The 42-year-old McNeil has been the executive director of the Kentucky Oil and Gas Association for the past 3 years. He formerly served as chief of staff to Kentucky Secretary of Commerce and directed the Kentucky Office of Energy Policy. McNeil has undergraduate degrees in government and history from Center College.
The Salvation Army's annual Red Kettle campaign began in Rowan County last week. The red bells and kettles are located at the entrances to Kroger and Walmart in Moorhead. The drive is to raise money for local families in need. Marilyn Smith is with the Gateway House in Moorhead and is helping coordinate the campaign.
The Red Kettle campaign has benefited our community so much over the past dozen years or so. Just by the simple bell-ringing campaign. We have raised over $150,000 in the last 13 years for those in need.
Smith says there's always a need for volunteers to ring the bells. Rowan County's campaign will continue through December 19th.
Cossair Children's Hospital in Louisville has issued some tips for parents when buying toys for small children this holiday season. Registered nurse and coordinator of the Kids Safe program, Erica Janes, says a major concern are items with small parts that can be easily swallowed.
If the kids are less than 3 years of age, think about the inside of a toilet paper roll. If there are parts that can fit down in that, that's a very easy choking hazard. The other thing is to be careful when you decorate as well as toys about button batteries. They are tiny, they're swallowed, and within just a couple hours, those kids are going to have serious stomach emergencies.
Janes says 70 children required surgery at Cossair last year because of objects they swallowed. And taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, for tonight, showers with lows around 50 degrees. The chance of rain is at 90%. Tuesday, showers with highs in the lower 60s. Chance of rain 90%. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers, lows near 42 degrees. On Wednesday, partly sunny with highs around 50. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with lows in the lower 30s. It is currently 51 degrees in Ashland, 48 in Flemingsburg, 53 in Inez, 49 degrees in Lexington, 50 in Winchester, and it's 49 degrees right here on the campus of MSPR.
It is 4:44. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It's good to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, U.S. Senator Rand Paul was in Ashland last week talking about his goals for America and his idea of what a president should be. MSPR's Samantha Morrill was there, too, and she has this report.
The Republican candidate spoke to a diverse crowd at the Highlands Museum and Discovery Center in downtown Ashland. He took questions from constituents and talked about what he sees as America's top priorities: corporate tax reform, EPA regulations, the national debt, and the funding of essential departments like transportation and defense. One of his major goals is to keep business from moving overseas. Paul says the first step in accomplishing that is to consider what kind of corporate environment America can offer. He says lowering the tax rate on businesses will preserve domestic commerce.
We have the highest business tax in the world. If you could choose to do business anywhere in the world, would you go where they have the highest taxes or the lowest taxes? You know, without question, we're losing businesses to a lot of places around the world, because our business tax is the highest in the world, 35%.
He claims that lowering the tax to only 6.5% will bring in around $1 trillion, and that could be funneled into transportation needs like roads and bridges. The senator says infrastructure projects are underfunded to the tune of about $15 billion. Paul contends more money is also needed for Social Security and Medicaid. The Republican also believes that the Environmental Protection Agency is putting too many regulations on coal. He says the EPA's own statistics show that coal emissions are down.
So why are we shutting them all down? Because we've allowed sort of, I think, extremists to take over our policy. The other thing is, I don't get to vote on any of that. The thing that's going to shut down coal permanently in our country is this new thing called the Clean Power Act. I didn't get any vote. Look, I got elected by a whole state, and I get no vote on this.
Paul says a lack of checks and balances in Washington is one of his biggest concerns and frustrations. During the Q&A after his speech, Paul answered questions ranging from national defense to student loans. He criticized Bernie Sanders' plan for free higher education, pointing out that nothing is free. Paul has a proposal that would recognize college as a work expense that could be deducted from taxes.
So I would let you deduct it over your whole working career. The problem is, let's say you have $100,000 in student loans, but you only make $35,000 a year. You don't have enough income to write off your education. But what if I said you can write it off over 20 years? You know, just keep writing it off as a deduction. It's also then tied to work. And a deduction tied to work is an incentive to have employment.
Currently, interest from student loans can be deducted, but Paul's bill would allow the principal to be deducted as well. Paul also supports economic freedom zones for struggling communities.
This is for federal taxes. What it would do is any area that has high unemployment, higher than 1.5 times the nation's average, which is probably about 10 or 15 counties in eastern Kentucky, would get a dramatic reduction in their taxes.
Under his plan, Pike County alone would stand to save nearly $200 million over the next 10 years. Paul ended the session with a criticism for Washington and those considering welcoming Syrian refugees. He says the taxpayers shouldn't be responsible for funding them.
Taxes aren't charity, and there's a limited amount of money. Charity is when you give your own money. Charity isn't when you give somebody else's money. We have, I think, 300,000 veterans who get housing assistance. We have 1 million veterans on food stamps. We got to pay for the people who fought to defend our country without importing all of the world's problems.
Senator Rand Paul is now officially a candidate in the Kentucky GOP's presidential caucus, as well as for re-election to the U.S. Senate. Reporting for MSPR, I'm Samantha Morrill.
4:48, All Things Considered, from NPR at 5 o'clock, and Jared has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from Eat Gallery, exquisite art treasures, 46 West 2nd Street in downtown Maysville. Eat Gallery features fine jewelry created by artisans from across America and natural pieces found all over the world. Eat Gallery offers handmade heirlooms, earrings, bracelets, pocket knives, rings, and necklaces. Open Tuesdays through Fridays, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturdays, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eat Gallery can be reached at 606-564-5578 and online at eatgallery.com.
Individual success awarded on the MSU gridiron. Good evening, reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Jared Wesley. Morehead State's football team is coming off a solid 7-4 season, in large part due to the play of junior quarterback Austin Gayhafer. Today, the Pioneer Football League named Gayhafer as its Offensive Player of the Year. This season, Gayhafer threw for 3,244 yards and 24 touchdowns. On top of that, the junior scored 3 touchdowns with his legs and also reached pay dirt via receptions on 2 different occasions. Gayhafer will be a senior next season. He needs 1,738 yards to set the all-time passing record at Morehead State. After watching his team fade from a 5-1 start to a 5-7 finish, Kentucky football coach Mark Stoops says the Wildcats need to get mentally tougher. Stoops is warning his returning players they'd better be ready to make that happen.
We're going to get to work. We're going to have a grueling offseason. We're going to get mentally and physically tougher. We've got to kick it up some serious notches to compete at a higher level, and we will do that. We've got a good nucleus of players coming back, and we've got to coach them better and work harder in the offseason.
That won't be a problem for redshirt junior quarterback Patrick Tolles, who has announced he will transfer. He'd started 22 straight games until being replaced by redshirt freshman Drew Barker a couple of weeks ago against Charlotte. In the updated version of the AP's Top 25 College Football Poll, there's a familiar name at the top of the list. Here's AP correspondent Jim Militello.
The 12-0 Tigers pick up 53 of the 61 first-place votes after holding off South Carolina. The other 8 go to second-ranked Alabama, which wrapped up the SEC West title with a win over Auburn. Oklahoma jumped 2 spots to number 3 after a commanding 58-23 win over Oklahoma State. The next 3 spots go to the Big Ten with unbeaten Iowa at number 4, followed by Michigan State and Ohio State. Stanford moves up 6 spots to number 7, followed by North Carolina, Notre Dame, and Florida State. I'm Jim Militello.
Militello, of course, they're referring to the Clemson Tigers at the number 1 spot. The injury-depleted Baltimore Ravens are in Cleveland for Monday Night Football. MSPR's Michael Gustin has the story.
The 3-7 Baltimore Ravens will try to patch things together as they face the Browns. The Ravens have a league-leading 17 players on the season-ending injury reserve list, most notably quarterback Joe Flacco. 2 veteran quarterbacks will lead the offenses, with Josh McCown at Cleveland's helm and Matt Schaub calling Baltimore signals. The Browns have lost their last 5 in a row. Cleveland won a 33-30 shootout at Baltimore earlier this season. It was just Ravens coach John Harbaugh's second loss to the Browns in 15 tries. For Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Michael Gustin reporting.
The Cincinnati Bengals appear to be back on track. Sunday's 31-7 romp over St. Louis at Paul Brown Stadium ended the Bengals' 2-game losing streak and improved their record to 9-2. Andy Dalton had 3 touchdown passes to lead Cincinnati. Coach Marvin Lewis believes the work of his team's offensive and defensive lines was outstanding.
Well, I just think, you know, it was the key to the game. I think both sides controlling the line of scrimmage and were able to get that done today.
The Bengals totaled 376 yards of total offense in the win. They visit Cleveland next Sunday. The top-ranked Kentucky basketball team is at home tonight. The Wildcats will look to add to their 6-0 record as they face Illinois State at 7. The Redbirds are just 3-4 this season, including a narrow loss to number 2 Maryland. UK coach John Calipari says they're a good team.
They've got the quick guard, Lee. I'm not sure what we'll be able to do with him. They got a kid, Purcell, that's scoring 16, 17 a game. Will be a tough matchup for us, depending on how we play. They got some veteran guys, so, you know, it's not going to be, they run, it's not Princeton, it's more like a 5-out where you got to play it like you're playing Princeton, but they do good stuff.
The Cats could be without point guard Tyler Euless tonight. He hyperextended an elbow in UK's Friday win over South Florida. Euless could be a game-time decision. The Morehead State basketball Eagles are enjoying their first 4-1 start in 2 seasons. According to sophomore guard Miguel DeSint, the key to that has been the Eagles' ability to get contributions from a lot of different guys.
That's the beauty of our team. You know, we got everybody can play. It's like everybody that come in the game, you know, is going to do his job, you know. So we're very confident. We got a very, you know, wild team.
MSU's defensive play has also been critical. The Eagles have held their opponents to under 39% shooting and have forced them into an average of 17 turnovers a contest. They play at St. Louis on Wednesday. The Putnam County Sheriff's Office says Marshall men's basketball assistant coach Chris Duhon was found asleep in the driver's seat of a vehicle with the engine running. Duhon was arrested for DUI and taken to the Putnam County Courthouse. Finally, tonight in sports, the Morehead State women's basketball team is looking forward to action Wednesday night at West Virginia. The Eagles saw their record fall to 3-4 Sunday following a 59-57 loss at Miami of Ohio. Coach Greg Todd, though, liked the toughness shown by his players.
I thought our will to win was very good. It was a little different type of game. I'm glad to see that we can play in a defensive type of game. I thought we did a much better job in our half-court defense.
The MSU women held Miami to just 38% shooting and forced the Redhawks into 21 turnovers. That's it for sports. I'm Jared Wesley reporting for MSPR.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Single game and season tickets for men's and women's basketball are now on sale, including 16 OVC contests beginning January 7th. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Loop with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed lower the last day of trade for November as investors eyed retail results and readied for key data and central bank comments later in the week. The major averages were on track for their second straight month of gains, the first such win streak since May, and at the close, the Dow Industrials finished with a loss of 78.57 at 17,719.82. The S&P 500 was down 9.7 at 2,080.41, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 18.86 at 5,108.67. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 17-13 in favor of losing stocks over winners. Consumer and health stocks were among the laggards in the S&P 500, and the S&P, or I should say the SPDR, S&P Retail Exchange Traded Fund itself was down more than 2% in afternoon trade after 2 weeks of solid gains. Shares of Target briefly fell more than 1.5% amid reports the retailer's website temporarily crashed due to high traffic. And crude oil gave up intraday gains of more than 1.5% to settle down 6 cents at $41.65 a barrel. Nike was a big loser among the Dow Jones Industrial stocks, while Chevron and IBM contributed the most to gain in afternoon trade. The iShares NASDAQ Biotechnology ETF was down at one point more than 2% on the day before coming back slightly into the close, and this weighed on the NASDAQ composite. Apple and Microsoft both traded more than 1% higher, while Amazon held slightly lower. In economic news, the pending home sales figure for October from the National Association of Realtors rose by just 0.2%, ending two straight months of declines, but far below expectations. In addition to the upcoming key employment report, the government report on Friday, central banks will take center stage later in the week. The European Central Bank is expected to expand its easing program and cut its already negative deposit rate. And Fed Chair Janet Yellen will address the Economic Club of Washington and testify before the Congressional Joint Economic Committee on Thursday. Treasury yields traded mixed, with the 2-year yield higher near 0.93% and the 10-year yield lower at 2.22%. And overnight, Asian equities ended mostly lower, with the Shanghai Composite actually finishing with a small gain for its second consecutive positive month for the first time since May. This despite the index posting its worst day since August on Friday, and also European stocks closed mixed. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up 23 cents at 112.62, CSX down 56 cents at 28.43, AK Steel up 7 cents at 237, AEP up 7 cents at 56.01, Marathon Petroleum down 17 cents at 58.40, and Kroger was down 34 cents at 37.67. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Innovation Network at MSU. The Innovation Network supports and promotes entrepreneurship by providing business consulting to entrepreneurs, small businesses, innovative nonprofits, and inventors. The network also works in Eastern Kentucky schools to teach entrepreneurship and promote the high-tech industries of the future, such as drones and space science. To learn how the Innovation Network helps the entrepreneurs of today while encouraging the entrepreneurs of tomorrow, the phone number is 606-783-9536.
Taking a final look at weather for tonight, showers with lows around 50 degrees. The chance of rain is at 90%.
And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Tanner Boyd, Jared Wesley, Arlo Barnett, Braxton Howard, Michael Gustin, Ellen Barnett, and Jacob Lindberg. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. ATC is next. It's 5 o'clock.